Excuse me. Greetings to each of you this morning. I told Curtis as we were walking up here, I was thinking about giving a report of my dad, and I said, it feels funny if I step up here and push him away, so I was trying to figure out how to do that, and I said, well, I'll just do it when I get up before I get started. But for those of you that were praying for Dad this week, he had his surgery, and they were hoping they were to be able to do it laparoscopically. They were not able to because of some previous scar tissue that he had, so it was more complicated. And he's doing well. He, last evening, I think it was around 8 o'clock, something like that, I looked at my phone. We have a doc set up that we can find out what the newest update, and they said he was actually on the way to ICU. His heart rate had gone way high, and so they were headed to ICU. But later on, they said that it had come back down. He did sleep well during the night, and his pain level is very low. So, but he does have a little road to recovery. So, anyhow, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying for him. You can pray for me this week. I will be leaving either Tuesday evening or else Wednesday. I'll be going up there for a week to spend up there to help take care of him and spend some time with Dad. So you can pray for me as I travel and spend time there with him. So thank you for your prayers. This morning, as we were talking, as we go through Sunday school and as we're talking about Job and just his life and how he lived and what God said about him. And it was just interesting, as I was studying, I don't know, Ezekiel mentioned three men that were what he considered as righteous men. Does anybody know what the three men that Ezekiel talked about? I think it was in Ezekiel 14, I think it's where it was. But there was three men that he mentioned. I pretty much gave you the first one. Job was the first, or Job was one of them, and there was two others. Daniel was one of them. Yep. Nope. Noah was the other one. It was Noah and Daniel and Job that he referenced to, and we'll actually probably read that reference a little bit later. I did this with the school children here in devotions a couple weeks ago, and I didn't talk about this person. I talked about Joseph for devotions. But this morning we're going to talk about Daniel. And I asked them if they had ever been to a memorial. How many of y'all have ever been to a memorial? And a lot of times at a memorial, you'll talk about the person, what they've accomplished, things that they've done, things that stood out to you. And so I want to do a little bit of that with Daniel this morning. When I say Daniel, what comes to your mind? Lion's den. Okay. Lion's den. Praying three, praying three times a day. Anything else? Faith. Okay. Very good. Captivity, exactly. I'm just seeing how much you know about Daniel. So often, it's like a lot of times, it's like, yeah, there's a couple things that would come to mind with Daniel. There's actually a lot about Daniel. What kind of a family did he come from? The Jewish one? Very good. okay. Daniel came from a royal family. He was in the royalty when Nebuchadnezzar. So in 605, Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged Jerusalem and took some of the dishes, the treasuries from the temple, and then they were also carried back with him some of the children. The children were to be of the royal family. they were to be perfect. Now this morning, how many of you are from about 12 to 17 years old? Okay. We have a number of you. How old are you, Jameson? 10. Okay. They're not sure exactly how old it was when these youth that they took into Babylon were, but they estimate somewhere probably roughly from 12 to 17. They were, Ashpenaz was commanded to bring some of the children of Israel. They were to be youth without blemish, of good appearance, and with wisdom and intelligence. These are some pretty smart young boys. There was a question, as I was studying, there was a question raised, why did they take the youth? Why did they pick Daniel? Why did they pick Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? All four of these were in those. We don't know how many more were taken. That's the four that are listed. That were taken along captive. Whether Nebuchadnezzar wanted to display the Jewish slaves that he had taken, or whether it was something to the fact that because if these young boys were captive under his rule, that he wasn't going to receive a lot of trouble from the ones back in Jerusalem because he has their sons, and so they're not going to cause him trouble. It doesn't really give us the reason. But for whatever reason Nebuchadnezzar chose, he made a good choice. And it puts the right people in the right place for God's plan to be carried out. From the time these young men got to Babylon, they made the decision that they would stand true to God. God loves us. He increases wisdom, and He increases their understanding. The Babylon's idea, they were in school now for 3 years to learn the ways of Babylon. The idea was that they would take on the new Babylonian way, and they would forget the ways from back home, Jerusalem, or of God. But in Daniel 1:17, we see this didn't happen. Actually, in Daniel 1:8, it says, Daniel resolved he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Daniel made up his mind that regardless of what they were trying to do and how they were trying to direct them, that he was not going to be swayed by that. He was going to stand strong. Another one of the gifts that Daniel had was he had the gift of interpreting dreams. There are three main times that we know that he interpreted dreams. The first one was with Nebuchadnezzar. Everyone, all the wise men, even from Babylon, were about to lose their life because they couldn't figure out Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then the second one was a time that Nebuchadnezzar was about to become as a beast of the field. And again, as I was reading this, I said to myself, I was like, isn't it interesting because they would always call the wise men to him and they'd be like, okay, they're supposed to interpret this dream. And then when they couldn't figure it out, they'd be like, okay, now call Daniel in. And it happened again here. And Nebuchadnezzar called Daniel and the other wise men weren't able to interpret the dream. And again, Daniel did. And the third time was when the handwriting on the wall with Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. And this time, again, they couldn't interpret the dream. And then Belshazzar's wife said, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of God, of the holy gods. In a way, Daniel oversaw the magicians of Babylon. Daniel interprets a dream that not even the king could remember. Listen to what the wise men and the magicians' response was when the king asked them to reveal his dream in Daniel 2:11. They said, "No one can reveal to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." Then Daniel reveals the dream. Now listen to what they say about Daniel. "A spirit of the holy gods lives within him." There was multiple times that they said this in Daniel, that there was a spirit of the gods that lived in him. In a way, God uses wisdom to show up the gods of Babylon on their own turf. God's temple was destroyed and the treasures stashed in the Babylon temple, and yet they were found powerless while his power rules. They looked to the stars of heaven for their answers. Daniel gets the answers from him who created the stars. Daniel was given the name Belteshazzar, which means Bel will protect him, Bel being the name of a Babylon god. Just as wisdom gave him a seat in Babylon kingdom, his loyalty to God also gave him a high place among the gods of Babylon. Now we look at Daniel's righteousness was of legendary status. From the day we see him carried captive to the last that we hear of Daniel, we do not see his faith waver. Ezekiel talked to Daniel two different times. One of the times I already talked about, and that time it was in reference to his righteousness alongside Noah and Job. The other time was in Ezekiel 28, when Ezekiel was talking about to the king of Tyre, and he refers to Daniel's wisdom. It was interesting how he used Daniel's wisdom. He didn't refer to Solomon's wisdom, but he used the wisdom of Daniel as reference. When the food would defile him, he stood for what was right. Twice he had a hard job of telling the king of what his fate was going to be. And yet, he boldly, yet respectfully, told them what God had showed him and what was going to happen. Later on, nearly at 80 years old, he again was put to the test of whether he would continue to pray. And he prayed 3 times a day and was thrown in the den of lions. Daniel served under 4 different kings in the time of captivity. Each one of those, he was in a position of power at some point. And yet it wasn't like, sometimes you get the picture when Nebuchadnezzar gave him a place of position, that he would have just had that position for the whole entire time. And yet when he came from king to king, we see it as when Belshazzar, when he interpreted his dream, then he was again raised to a position that it wasn't necessarily that he was in that position the whole time. And yet wherever Daniel was found, in whatever position, he remained faithful. And mixed into, while he served under all these 4 kings, Daniel began to have dreams and visions. Visions that troubled him, that he couldn't understand. From Daniel chapter 8 to the end of the book of Daniel, talks about the visions that he was having. And yet, while he didn't understand the dreams, he understood who did. And it was while he was going through these difficult times that we first hear mention of Gabriel. Daniel met Gabriel twice, and while Daniel was talking to the angel Gabriel, Gabriel mentioned Michael, the archangel, and said how he was fighting for him as well. So as we look at the life of Daniel, we saw the hands that went up this morning of the children that are that age. As I think of Daniel, I ask myself, if they were coming and my child was going to be taken, in this case, they never saw him again. Are you ready for your child to go? Is your child ready? Then I ask myself, am I ready? Are you ready? How would you do? How would your faith stand? What's the key to the success of these young men? The first one is surrender. In Daniel 1, 8 and 9, it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. They had every reason to give up, to be discouraged. Yet, they laid that aside regardless and determined to be faithful, surrendered to what God had for them in their life, regardless of where it took them and what they faced. In Luke 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny himself and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. These men were willing to lay down their life. Second one I have is trust in God. In Daniel 2:27 and 28, Daniel replied to Nebuchadnezzar with this, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. There was no doubt in Daniel's mind that God was able to show what that dream was. The same as we see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the same in Daniel 3, when the king had built an image and he required them to fall down and listen to what they said. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of the gold you have set up. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They didn't know that they would come out of that fire. Daniel didn't know that he was going to come out of the lion's den. And yet, without a doubt in their mind, they knew the ability of God. They trusted in God, and regardless of where it took him, they would not give in to doing what God had called them not, or to live their life in submission and trust for God. The third one I have is walk by faith, or I have conform without compromise. Daniel didn't have all the details of how life was going. He didn't see the whole picture. He didn't have it in front of him to know how it would turn out. Sometimes life looks overwhelming. I'm sure for them, it looked overwhelming. And yet, they knew where they could place their trust. Sometimes, I know as I've looked at the life of Daniel, and I've wondered, as you look at how of all four of these young men that stood up, and you're like, wow, they could have look what they could have done back at home among their own people. And yet, if you look in Ezekiel, and this is where Ezekiel talked about Daniel, in Ezekiel 14, in verse 12, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, when a land sins against me by acting faithlessly, and I stretch out my hand against it, and breaks its supply of bread, and send famine upon it, and cut it off from man and beast, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver, but their own lives by righteousness, declares the Lord God. And he goes on down, if you read on down through, he basically says the same thing three more times, that while it looks like it would have been perfect, the perfect person to really reach out back at home, and yet he says that only it would have been their own lives that they would have delivered, because at that point the children of Israel had made up their minds or had set their ways on evil. And yet we see as they come into Babylon how they reach and how they touch the lives. When Daniel arrived in Babylon, he couldn't change the fact he was an intelligent, good-looking young man. He was bound to attract the king's attention, whether he wanted it or not. There was one thing he had complete control over. That was his character. He could respond to the conquerors in resentment, hostility, or with respect and humility. Scripture shows us he chose to serve the king to the best of his ability. He even went the extra mile. He showed compassion for the Babylonian captors, the ones that he could hate. Nebuchadnezzar's plan for Daniel's life couldn't have been more different from the plans that Daniel and his parents had. But Daniel obeyed every decree that did not compromise his faith in God. And when he found it necessary to oppose the king, he did it with great diplomacy and trusted God with the outcome. Today, how do we live? Conform, but not compromise. Fully surrender to God's plan. For he who will save his life will lose it, and he will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what doth a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Trust in God. Lay all your cares upon him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Walk by faith. Psalm 119:10-11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Often reminded of what Corrie ten Boom, her dad Casper, said to her as she was young and she was worried whether she would have the strength to stand if she was to be put to test for her faith. And he said this, today you do not need the strength to be a martyr, but as soon as you are called upon for the honor of facing death for Jesus, he will supply the strength you need just in time. God will supply your strength. God will supply the strength I need. We trust in him, and when we need it, he will supply it. And then to end with, there are three verses. When Gabriel was talking to Daniel, the first one is in Daniel verse 9:22. And Daniel was feeling weak. He was feeling troubled by his dreams. And Gabriel said this, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. Again in Daniel 10, verse 11 and 12, he says, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the word that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to tell you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. And the third time was in Daniel 10, verse 18. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me and said, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and be of good courage. We may not know or fully understand the path that God is taking us on. But when we, like Daniel and these young men, set our eyes on what we know is right and allow God to take us where he wants, he will give us strength. How sweet to hear those words like Daniel heard. O man greatly loved. Or we could say, O And you can put your name in there, greatly loved. From the day you set your heart on God, your words have been heard. So as we go through life, through this week, may we, like Daniel, set our mind, resolve that we will live, we will serve God wherever it takes us, whatever it requires us to go through, and God will give us strength in whatever we face. Scott, do you have a song? Okay, you can stand, and that's interesting because I had that written on the bottom and I missed that. I said, do you dare to be a Daniel? So, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your love. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness as we look in the life of Daniel. And even regardless of the extreme hard times that he went through, and yet you were right there, you were faithful, and you heard all of his words and all of his requests. And God, as we go through this day, through this week, through this year, through life, God, I pray that you would help us as we trust in you and we know that you will be there, will be faithful to lead and guide and direct us on our path. Thank you again for your love today. Pray that you would bless each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.